This presentation was recorded at the 2017 Christian School Administration Institute held in Zurich, Ontario. For more information about the Institute, contact Philip Horst at philip.horst.79@gmail.com. That's philip.horst.79@gmail.com.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's certainly good to see so many people here today. This was a event that I've been looking forward to, not because I have to stand up here, but wanted to benefit from the other topics that were being shared as well. So far, I've been very inspired by this day here already. Really appreciated the devotional, what was brought out there. One word that stood out to me there was faithful, being faithful in doing what we're called to do, being faithful in what we need to do. And then in Peter's topic, two words that stood out to me there was love and respect. And I think those are two very important words that stood out to me as we think of this, interviewing the prospective teacher. This can get into some very personal stuff, and we always need to maintain a heart of love and respect. I certainly do not have all the answers on this subject. I have much to learn. Still want to learn more about it. I have had the privilege to hire some teachers, if that is considered a privilege, I guess. And also with my work that I do, it also involves hiring numerous people as well. And through that, also I've learned some things that have helped, I believe, in hiring for our schools as well. So hopefully we can share some of those ideas as well. So this being a workshop, we're going to try to make it somewhat interactive. I got some questions here that I'll throw out as we go along. I believe for some this is possibly somewhat of a new process. We've been hiring teachers for many years already, but I think there's maybe a little bit of a shift happening how we're going about it. I've said it before, I'm going to say it here again. I believe that our school teachers are the most important link in the school chain. Now, some of you might choose to disagree with me, and that's perfectly fine. Some of you might think, well, the curriculum, that's the most important, or the school board, the building, all those things are important, but I do not believe that they are the most important. I believe that if our teachers had nothing else, let me back up, I believe that if we have a good teacher hired and they'd have nothing else other than a piece of chalk and a chalkboard, they could probably, they could probably give our children an education. However, if we have all the nice books, the nice buildings, the curriculum, and all that good stuff, and we don't have somebody that can present that material, somebody that does not have Christian character, Christian virtues, we're not going to get them taught what we want to teach them. So with that, I do believe that they are the most important in our schools. How many here have hired teachers for a school? Okay, so a good number have. How many here have done what you would consider an official interview? Okay, probably about a third of the ones that put their hands up. And I'll ask this question, that's just more for curiosity. How many are looking for teachers yet for this coming fall? So, a few hands there. All right, well, we're going to move on. We're going to cover, initially I was thinking of covering two spans of time, but I think we're probably only going to have time for one. So we're going to look at the span of time from when the board sits together and comes up with an individual's name until the person has been hired or made a commitment or said yes or something like that. So I have 10 points here that we're going to go through. They're maybe not in complete order. I tried to put them in order to the best of my ability. The first one, analyzing references, asking the prospective, why bother with an interview, teacher application form, setting up the interview, debriefing after the interview, and the offer, and then closing. So I think we have lots of ground to cover here, and hope you feel free to ask questions as well. So the first one I put down here is reference checking. I believe this is one that our schools, our people have done a very good job at. I think that's been probably one of the tools that we've used the most. We've put a lot of weight in that. It happens a lot. Somebody calls up a local ministry or school board or someone to find out what type of person this is that we're thinking of hiring. So, a little bit of time for interaction. So, who should do the reference checks? Any thoughts on that? Who should be doing the reference checks? Should that be the board member? Should that be the ministry? Or who should it be? Okay. Depends what subject is being referenced. Maybe you have something a little deeper on that to share.
Is there some value, especially for upper grades and even for lower, to have some degree of awareness of academic or teacher abilities? Mm-hmm. Interaction, expressions, mechanical side, and then there is the spiritual side, which is maybe more appropriate for the ministry to do on the academics, the teacher capabilities. It's very appropriate for board to contact board, mm-hmm. or even non-board, contact people who know the person.
Okay, very good. Anything else?
And also could relate the person who knows the contact person a little bit compared to Joe Blow calling Joe Blow. Mm-hmm. Are you going to necessarily get what you really could get?
That was another question that I had, and I'll maybe throw it in there. If the person that's doing the reference checking knows the person at the other end, they're probably going to get a little bit more information, I'm guessing. But all right. So we're going to do these reference checks, obviously. We're going to try to find out what information we can. Like I said, I think that's very important. If the reference checks come back too negative, well, then you possibly have your answer. No point in going deeper if they haven't passed the reference checking. So I've also been involved in doing few reference checks as well. Sometimes you get some interesting responses, not that they're necessarily wrong or anything like that. So I've done reference checks already, and the answer come back was, I think it would be good experience, or I think it would be good for him or her to get out of their home setting. So what would you think of a reference like that? I think it would be good experience or good to get out of their home setting.
Well, I was thinking about your question, who should do the calling? Probably another aspect to it is who should do the answering. It's probably good if there's more than one sometimes. Mm-hmm. I have been on the receiving end of those kind of calls more, much more than making them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad if the people making the call ask more than me, and I will at times say that because I tell them, here's my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see necessarily the whole thing, or maybe not even the most important thing. And what you just got done asking, I think, is a call, or as I would see it, shows the reason why there should be more than one person answering to that.
Thank you for bringing that out. I think that's very, very true. We also know that the reference checks aren't necessarily always going to come back 100% favorable. None of us are perfect. Individuals do have flaws, and that's okay. If we know of those things up front, then we can prepare for them. Finally, we know we can do all the reference checking that we want. We still have to make our own decision. We still have to move ahead. Next point I put down here is asking the prospective teacher. Maybe somebody would like to share how they go about asking their teachers. So we have an individual, we know that we need to make contact with them. How do you go about it? You brought out a point there that I hadn't thought of, so I'm going to ask a question. So you mentioned asking the father. So let's say it's a young individual, less than 20. Is that important? Is that a step we should be making? Make contact with the father first. See if you go ahead.
I think it's very important, that, especially for young people at home, and to get the input of the father. I mean, the father knows their children quite well, I hope, and that they could, you know, give us some information to the board, and it's valuable. I mean, if the father said is not sure about that, then I'm not sure we should even proceed further.
I think, too, it's good because sometimes the father knows that, yeah, this child could use another year at home, and then maybe prospective teacher, the year at home might make quite a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Without the individual even knowing the possibility to ask, I think that's yourself.
Very good. Very good. I think that's definitely some good points. Well, it could certainly save us some time and some steps as well if the father says, well, no, I don't feel that she's ready, he or she is ready for that. Obviously, we would want to respect that. So, changing gears a little bit. Yes, I had the privilege to ask a number of teachers, and I will be honest, I found it extremely difficult. I'm not sure if it's my quiet nature or what it is, but I found it extremely difficult asking some of these people. And somewhere along the way, decided to change the approach a little bit. I guess a little bit how I'd first gone, I'd call up an individual and say, hey, it's Dwight from Pathfinder School. And, oh yeah, right away they know what we're asking. And, you know, you tell them, well, we're looking for a senior class teacher, intermediate teacher, and, you know, your name has come up and it was recommended to us, and would you like to come and teach for us? Well, some of these individuals were from hours away, some people I never saw. How did I know that I want them to come and teach? Yes, there's been a bit of reference checking done in that. So, yeah, I found it extremely difficult, probably because I didn't know if that's what I want or not. So somewhere along the way, decided to change approach, which leads right into this topic, I guess, more in depth than that, is I started asking them if they would consider having an interview. So we'd share with them and say, yes, we're looking for a teacher, give a bit of the background, a bit about the school, and say, you know, we're looking for a teacher for a senior class or intermediate class, and ask them if they would simply consider having an interview. And then I'd go on to explain to them that I'm not asking you to teach at this point, but yes, we are looking for a teacher. However, we would like to sit down and have an interview first prior to getting a commitment from you to teach. I found that to be very, very helpful, and it was quite interesting, the responses that we got on the other end. Obviously, it was a new thought to some of those people, but it was very positive. They seemed to jump on that very quickly. I think the other thing that has happened as well in some of those situations where people were asked, I think it might have possibly been the easy way out of it, simply to, you know, say, no, we don't know too much about your school, so it comes back as a negative. So, yeah, that approach definitely helped me. It definitely made for more comfort, I guess I would say.
Maybe you'll get to this yet, but before they come to the interview, do you give them a list of questions that they should be prepared to answer when they are coming to the interview?
Okay, very good. Very good question.
Do you do that, or isn't that part of your procedure?
That is part of the procedure, yes, and we will get to that. But thank you for bringing that out. So let's have a little bit of discussion. So why bother with an interview? Some of you have put your hands up and said you just have done interviews. So, yeah, someone share a personal experience. Was it a waste of time? Was it worth your time? Thank you. Anyone else have a experience to share?
I remember one interview that I was involved in. It was the first time we met the prospective teacher and her family, and the parents were involved. It could give you a good idea how she interacts with her own family, because it was the first time we ever met her. You kind of left with a good feeling, because you knew they worked together as a family, so very likely.
Not sure what your name is, but just a little story to share in regards to what you said there. You know, so you don't have an interview, you don't know who shows up, type of thing. And I guess I did a similar experience, or had a similar experience at work with one individual that I hired. The dad works there, his younger brother worked there, And we need a kind of a custodian type of person, someone to sweep the floors and haul the garbage out and so forth, etc. So I, for whatever reason, decided to short circuit the system a bit, and I thought, well, the dad's a great fella and his previous son was an awesome young fella, so I kind of thought, oh, well, the next brother, you know, sure, come on in. And well, I had a bit of the experience that you had shared there. The young fella walked in and I just kind of, you know, okay type of thing, you know. Not a huge deal. It's, you know, just a simple job, but simple jobs that he will be performing or whatever. But I guess it was a good experience for me to have it happen at that level or whatever. So couldn't believe I did it, but anyhow, I did. So still learning. Okay, so I'll share a few more reasons why I think it's why it's a good good reason to have an interview. I believe it also gives you opportunity to share with them why they might want to come and teach at your school. I think you all think that you have great schools, and yeah, we do. We have good schools. There's lots of good reasons why somebody might want to come and teach at your school. You can share with them that we have supportive parents, we have good teachers, we have another two or three teachers here, they work as a real good team, they're keen to help the new ones. You can share with them how you deal with problems. Teachers will want to know what happens when there's a problem. Are they left to call the parents up, or does a board step in? There's all kinds of different things there that can happen. Another little experience we had with one interview that we were doing, the other individual that was with me, he started sharing with the prospective teacher some of the great reasons why she might want to teach at this school, and when he was done, she just simply said, yeah, I already know that. She already done her research, so these people, they will do research on you as well. So I found that rather interesting. Also, the other thing that can happen, school does not always go the way you and I would like it to. We do run into rocky situations at times, and oftentimes these situations don't stay contained in the four walls. They do leak out, things do reach out into the community and to other churches, so stuff that happens inside these four walls will leak out. And with that being said, those things aren't always true. If you do have an interview with an individual, you can find out from them, what have they heard? What have you heard about this school? And if they did their research, they'll know. And also find out from them what their fears are. I'm sure if I had to step into the classroom and teach, I'd have lots of fears or whatever. So if you have an interview, you can find out what are your fears. They will have them. They will be there. One fear that I heard from one of the teachers or the prospective was the Christmas program. Christmas program was going to be the biggest fear. Well, I would have never thought that Christmas program would necessarily be the biggest fear, but that was real. That was a fear that individual had. So with us knowing that ahead of time, we could then kind of help that person walk through that. There could be obviously many, many more. Might be moving into a new community. Where are they going to live? Who are they going to have to live with? Will they have a room of their own or apartment of their own? Different things are important for different individuals. So next question I got is an interview important for one of our church members? So let's say you're hiring somebody from your local church. Is an interview important? Maybe some of you that have done interviews, were those with your own church people, or were they people from outside the setting? Well, I guess my opinion would be that I think an interview is very important for them individuals as well. Yes, we would know them better than somebody from far away. Interview might be shorter because we know them quite a bit better. But I do feel it's still important that we do interview those individuals as well. And we'll get into some more questions later on as well that we might try to draw to these people, try to get answers for. They're going to have to be paid too if it's a married man that you're trying to hire. Sooner or later, you're going to have to know whether you can close up the pay gap. Might as well know that up front. They might also plan or want to take time off or a period of time off, go to Bible school. They might have that blocked in, and that might be, you know, very important. It is important. Are you able to work that in for them then? All right, Marvin asked a question if there's questions that we're going to try to get answered before the interview. Any thoughts from anybody? Those of you who have done interviews, have you given them a list of questions or ahead of time? Feel free to share. Nobody want to talk? I don't know, you can just pass them across. Actually, why don't we go like this back here? Mightn't have quite enough copies for everybody. We'll see how this goes. If not, you'll have to spread them out. I don't know if this necessarily has the right title on it. I've used a similar form a couple of times like this. This one here was revised or edited by the school resource committee. You might look at it and think, oh my, there's sure a lot of questions in there, which there is. I suppose if somebody got handed this or mailed to them, they might get a little intimidated by it. I'm not sure. I want to have some feedback from you then. Some important things on there that I do believe we want to find out. As I thought of this, I had to think about it. Our schools are a little bit different than hiring for our businesses. Oftentimes in our businesses, there's possibly people lined up at the door that want to come and work for you. Other times there's not, but oftentimes the first thing you're going to try and get from them, or might try to get from them, is a resume. Somebody calls you up and they want to be employed at your place. Well, you're probably going to say, well, can you send me a resume? So a resume will bring out or will share some things that you want to know about that individual. I think we'll probably be a long time till we can get our prospective teachers to fill out a resume and send it to us. I'm not sure how we would accomplish that. And it probably wouldn't have all the information that we're necessarily looking for. So there are a number of questions on here. We aren't going to go through every question, or we're not going to go into too much depth on this. I think you can look at it at your own leisure as well. I will mention that if somebody does want to use this form and you want to edit it or modify it and you don't want to start from scratch, feel free to contact one of the people on the school resource committee. They can send you an electronic copy of this and then you can start editing it or put your school name in or anything like that. So I guess I would encourage, if you do send this out to them, we simply only want them to fill out what they can. We don't want them to sweat over this and lose sleep about it. But it does help to prepare for the interview if they have put some thought into it as well. So those of you, yes. That's a very good point. I hadn't thought of that. There's some fairly specific questions that they skipped over. You can ask those in the interview then, find out, you know, what the reason is or if they got any further thoughts. So thank you for bringing that out. That is, we almost did. we had asked somebody from out there somewhere, I'm not sure where it was. The person declined before we got that far, so it did, we didn't have to encounter that, I guess, but right or wrong, at that point they were committed to seeing to that the person can get in here or somebody out there. I realize that is a lot of cost and that's not near always feasible. There are other ways that interviews can be done as well. Obviously in person is by far the best, but if it is 20 hours away, what other methods do we use? Yes, Paul. How was that? Do you flew out or?
No, we hired one.
Okay.
Didn't know either what we want to do, and we discussed it. So we had an interview with the chairman and the vice chairman on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But did still hire a flight in for next Friday. So
okay.
And it's a little backwards, but we're still getting her in.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
That was done quite many years ago. And it was in reverse. I was out there asking in here. And I received a call. Would I do an interview for them?
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how did you find that to go? So you basically interviewed the person as though you were hiring for your school. And then?
I think history says it all worked well.
Okay. Very good. That's obviously if you know the person at the other end very well and or know them, and I think that could work very well too. Very good. Anything else? So some of you might wonder, okay, well, when does the person get this form or when would you send it to them? I don't think there's any cut or dried or one way of doing it. Oftentimes we are in time sensitive situations, or so we think anyway, you know, we got to get on this, we got to get asking and get these people hired, which is true enough. We want to keep the ball rolling. So most people have some form of electronic communication, so it can be emailed out or faxed out or something like that, obviously ahead of time. And You might be able to get it back before the interview, which would be nice if you can, but if not, if they can bring it to the interview, that would also work well, I'm sure. Any other questions or comments on this before we move on?
So, be present at the interview. If a five-member board, should all five members be there?
Excellent question. Actually, we're going to just hold off on that question for a wee bit. Let's see what we skipped over here. Okay, we'll get to that question, but next one I got here is setting up the interview. I think this is very important as well. One thing we want to do is try to make it convenient for them. I think that's very important. We want to try to make it convenient for them. This can also help to speed the process up as well. If you're willing to drive or fly or whatever, if the individual's a few hours away, it does take work on their part to find a block of time in their schedule to come. The person might say, well, they want to come and see your school, they want to see where they would be working. So obviously you're going to try to accommodate that, try to make that happen. Or you can offer to come to them, go where they are. That can work very well also. Most of all, I think it's important that we, number one, try to accommodate it, make it comfortable for them. This process can be somewhat intimidating. A lot of these people might be the first time they've had a job interview. So yes, it can be a little bit stressful. It can be a little intimidating. So the best thing we can do is try to put them in as much of their own comfort zone as possible. We're trying to recruit them, so we need to be flexible. Another thing that I found to be very beneficial in setting up the interview, and that is encourage them to bring a friend, whether that's their parent or whether that's their co-teacher or someone. I think that's very important, especially if it's a younger person, that it's the first time they're doing an interview. Well, yes, that is quite frightening. So try to encourage them to bring a friend along. It's what I found, some of these young people, they don't necessarily know what questions they should be asking. They've never taught. How do they know what they should be asking or knowing about a school? One interview that we had done, she had her teacher there. She was a helper, I guess is what I would say. So her main teacher was there, and it was very interesting. It almost seemed as though we were interviewing her rather than the prospect teacher in a lot of ways. Obviously, we asked personal questions that pertained to her, but this other teacher asked questions that she would have wanted to know if she was the one that was coming to teach. So as she was asking us those questions, it was giving the prospective teacher answers. So that was very helpful. Okay, let's move on. I see we're going to run out of time before we're done here. So the interview question was asked, who should do the interview, or how many people should be there? I don't think there's necessarily one cut or dried method, but let's first, how many people should be there? Okay.
I think it varies if it's a young sister from Western Canada or if it's a brother from your own church.
Mm-hmm.
He probably wouldn't be intimidated if three or four men were there.
Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts? Well, I don't think, Marvin, maybe you had a thought on that. You've hired lots of people. Very good. Well, that's kind of what I put down. Well, obviously at least two, and then I was kind of dicing back between it. Should it be two or three? Where is this line when it gets too intimidating? Obviously, if you know the individual, you can somewhat try to figure that out.
Just a question.
Yes.
If it's a young sister, is it practical for, say, the school board member's wife to be along?
It's practical to have the school board's wife along. Well, I think it is. I think that's, my opinion is that would be very appropriate. For sure, if they don't come with a friend or somebody like that, then we definitely want to make sure that happens. But I think if you try to really encourage them to bring somebody along, then it helps to, you know, keep everything on the out front, and, you know, it's not that you're trying to, you know, they can be their counselor. One thing we need to keep in mind in that is, you know, it might seem like we're digging deep, we're trying to find lots of stuff out, and yes, we are, but one thing we need to keep in mind, and that is our goal is, yes, we need to get a teacher, but if it's not good for the teacher, it's not going to be good for us. So I think as we try to figure that out, find the individual that is a fit, it will benefit them as well. All right, I put down a number of interview questions. Not necessarily going to ask all these. Might kind of roll through them a little bit quickly. I did type up a separate sheet with some of these questions on as well. I will make them available to you after, so you don't feel you have to jot them all down or whatever. So this next section here, I have photocopied, so if you find that helpful. I put down here, learn to listen to what they are saying and learn to hear what they're not saying. I think that's a little bit what Fred brought out there on the interview form. They might leave some blanks empty that should have been filled out, so we want to find that stuff out. Another one I come across was hire easy or manage hard. Hire hard and manage easy. So what I got from that is, you know, we can try and do our homework up front, try to find some of these things out so we can prepare ourselves for the situation, or else we can do that work after they're in the classroom. So let's do it before. Find out if the person is coming to teach or running away from problems. I hope that isn't the case, but yes, I did have one report that I said, well, I think it'd be good if they get out of their home. Good point, but do you want to be the school that is the rehab center? What makes them want to teach? Why do you want to teach? Another one, interpersonal skills. Are they able to get along with others? How do they relate to others? Do they enjoy to work with others or by themselves? For a lot of these schools, you're working with, in a lot of our schools, you're working with somebody else. Are they a self-starter? Most of the school board chairmen aren't at school every morning to make sure the teachers get there, show up in time. Are they a self-starter? Are they a follower? With that, we can find out what types of leadership roles have they done up till now. Have they been a leader? Have they taken a leadership role in things before? And with that, do they enjoy it? Being a school teacher is obviously being a leader. They're in front of these children, in front of these students every day. Are they easily frustrated or distracted? By understanding that the pressure and the tension in the classroom can get high at times, how do they relate to frustration? What are some of their gifts or talents? These are things we want to try to draw out of them. Yes, it's okay for them to say they really enjoy music and they enjoy teaching music or they enjoy science. Some of those things will come out on that form as well if they do fill it out as to what some of their interests are. Also weaknesses. Find out what some of their weaknesses are. Most people have a bit of an idea what that might be, and that's fine to know that up front. If we know that up front, we can then work with them. Next one I put down here, and I'm not sure how deep to probe on this one, and maybe some of you can. I put down moral purity. Obviously, these teachers create a great impression on the lives of our children. I think our teachers probably create more of an impression on them than at this young age than possibly what our church ministry or ministry do. These teachers are standing in front of the children every day, 5 days a week, and they will pick up their traits. They will pick up their Christian virtues and values. So how deep do we go in that? I don't have an answer on that, so I hope some of you have a thought.
One thing we need to remember is our children are pretty precious to us. But, in this application, or however we do it, we're laying a foundation of relating to our teacher. I think we need to be very, very
That's right. I think that is key there, that it is confidential.
Some of the initial understandings of that should be able to be revealed in basic interviews. If a person is living, I see a difference between a young man who might be having some struggles, personal purity, but is gaining victory, is understanding, is actively looking for help from others and from God, or if a person is living in defeat. Mm-hmm. A defeated individual is not going to successfully live and manage many things. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Thank you for bringing that out. I think that's very, very true.
My personal opinion would be that should be covered at maybe in the pastor's interview with this person's pastor, and ask some personal questions that way. If the pastor has some uncertainty about it, then it would be his responsibility to maybe follow up with that young man. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Another one we might want to find out is, what other obligations do they have outside of your teaching? Do they need to be back home every weekend for something? Do they have other financial obligations that might create some challenges in the school. Prior teacher involvement, have they taught before? How do they relate with others, relationship with other people? As was mentioned, I guess if the parents come alone, then they can, you can kind of see how they interact there with each other. Their study habits, do they enjoy books? Do they want to continue to learn? Are they willing to take extra training? Can they spend a week in another classroom to try to learn some new things? Also believe that pay needs to be discussed with them as well. Some people might consider the teaching position to be a voluntary position, and that's fine if that's what a school chooses to do. Obviously, that should be communicated up front. Let them know what their expectation is, or your expectation. Work it out ahead of time. And then we also want to give them lots of time for questions as well. We want to make sure that we answer their questions as best as possible and honestly as we can. So there's many more questions that we could ask as well, and oftentimes when they answer one question, they'll answer multiple questions, but we can find some things out in a relatively short time. So jumping forward a little bit, so we have now completed our interview, let's say, and either you need to offer them the position then, or you might choose not to offer a position. How do we handle that? So let's say we go through the interview and it just does not seem like this is what we should be doing. What kind of situation have we got ourselves into now? Person wants to teach, excited, want to come and teach, and the board feels they're not a fit. That's right. Anything else?
Some of the interviews that I've been involved in, the board chairman doesn't communicate to the teacher, to the prospective teacher, whether they have a job or not. Even if the interview went really well, it's just wise to sit at the board then or before.
Very good. Thank you for bringing that out. One thing I thought of as well, and not sure why I likened it to this or whatever, but if we choose not to hire the individual, that does not mean that they're a bad person or they're not a good teacher or anything like that. It just might not be a fit for your school. You might have too many students for them, too many grades to cover. Maybe the curriculum that they will be handling is more than they can handle. And I had to think about that a little bit. You know, it's a little bit like possibly two people that are dating. You know, you're gonna have two people that are dating, and for whatever reason, they decide to end their dating relationship. They go off into separate directions, and a period of time passes, and then this individual and another individual join together, and they get married, and it flourishes into the most beautiful relationship. That doesn't mean that either one of those people that broke that dating relationship were bad people. It simply wasn't a fit, or they had different goals or objectives. And I think it can be the same way in this hiring as well. You know, they can interview a teacher here for Lakeview. That doesn't mean that they're not a good fit for Cedarvale or Brookside or Dayspring or Pathfinder or wherever. The goals and responsibilities might be different. So
I'm just curious, how often does that happen?
Which happen?
That they're not hired after an interview.
Good question. Good question. I've had it already where they interviewed them, they declined, so maybe they found too much out, I'm not sure. Well, it could happen.
I appreciate what they said, don't get me wrong. I just, sometimes I get the idea that the pressures are pretty great for schools to find teachers, and I'm mm-hmm. wondering if they actually will do that.
Well, this was mentioned before. It was mentioned that our children are probably one of our most precious and valued resources, and the teachers have a tremendous impact on that. So on them. So if we do an interview and it doesn't look good, we do need to possibly make a tough decision and decide to keep looking. We need to decide what's most important, I guess. Very good question. So everybody says yes, so why bother with an interview? Well, like I mentioned before, I think there's still a couple benefits. If a person does have some fears or questions or whatever, let's get those answered up front. Let's get those answered before they get into the classroom, and then we catch on that this one particular area is a real area of weakness. If we know that ahead of time, we can maybe get them some training on that, or walk closer beside them through those times. So sooner or later, we're going to get to know these individuals. If we don't get to know them a little bit in an interview, we will get to know them partway through the year. So it's also not about trying to just figure out what we want, but it's also to help them get what they want. If it's not good for them as an individual, it's probably not going to be good for our school as well. Well, our time is pretty well here to close. Does anyone else have any other questions or comments or thoughts to share yet? Good point.
Is the interview process any different if this prospective teacher is a son or a daughter of a board member?
Okay, is there any difference, son or a daughter of a board member?
I don't think we should make a difference there. I think they should still be interviewed. Mm-hmm. Either, maybe not by the father, maybe separate.
I agree that the same procedure should be done. Mm-hmm. Our daughter was hired for our school, and she went through the same procedure as any other hire, and it was good for her mm-hmm. to do that exercise to answer some questions related specifically to teaching school.
And it's probably good for the board too to do it and get familiar with it. Very good. I agree with that. Well, I had to think of it a little bit, you know. It's a little bit like a pond of water. We can have a nice clear pond. We can throw a stone in that pond and, you know, there's a big splash. There's a major splash from that stone. And as time goes past, there's ripples that continue to go out from that splash for a long time, for a great distance. Same way it is with the teachers as well. know, these teachers, they do have a, they do make an impact. They will make an impression. They will get something done. And what they get done is going to have rippling effects for days and years to come. So as school board members, I believe it's our job, our school board members and ministry, I believe it's our job to make sure that we do what we can, and by God's grace that we can hire and train these individuals so that it can have a positive impact on our schools. May God bless.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit the docforlearning.org.